Hey guys, I'm Matt, and welcome to the South Coast Kook. Before I start this episode, I'd like to give a shout out to one of my sponsors, Softboards AU. Softboards AU has something for everyone. Whether you're buying your first surfboard or you're an experienced surfer looking for something fun for those summer afternoon sessions, these guys have you covered. Their boards have a molded EPS core, they have double stringers, FCS compatible fin boxes, and before leaving the factory, each board is certified and tested under extreme heat conditions in preparation for our Aussie summers. These legends have agreed to give 10% off my community by using the promo code SOUTHCOASTKOOK10 at checkout. So jump on over to www.softboardsau.com and check it out. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey guys, I'm Matt, the South Coast Kook. I'm just a kook that loves to chat everything surfing. And today on the show, I've got Seb from Access Adventures and Lee. How you going, boys?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Stoked to have you both on the show. Why don't you introduce yourself to start off with?
I'll let Lee go first. You want to fire away, mate?
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm Lee. I live at Narrabeen. I'm 43 years old. I've got two kids and a lovely partner. And I'm a kook.
That's what we all are, brother.
That's it, man. We've all got kook in us, even Kelly Slater.
And, yeah, I'm Seb. I'm one half of Access Adventures. I'm a mad surf frother, adventure sports person, junkie, and I'm also a kook, I suppose.
We're all kooks at heart, boys, so don't stress. Yeah. Hey,
that's it.
So how long have you both been surfing for?
Since I've been very like a young tacker, really a little young grommy. I've been surfing my whole life. Grew up at the beach at Manly, and I've always been in the water. I love it.
Yeah. And where are you located now?
I gave Sydney the flick, mate, and I've moved up to Newcastle. Yes. I got a young family, and everyone knows the property prices in Sydney were skyrocketing, and living in one of probably the more expensive parts of the Northern Beaches in Manly, it was crazy. So I moved up to Newcastle and loving it up here, mate. Sick waves and few less people, and it's epic.
Cool. And you, Lee?
Yeah, I've been surfing my whole life too. Like, unfortunately, I didn't grow up near the beach. I'm originally from Queensland, from a town called Beenleigh, sort of halfway between Brisbane and the Gold Coast. And I guess you'd describe it as a westy town, but my dad, he was a mad surfer. He actually grew up in DY and then moved to Queensland, and then when I was 20, I moved to the Northern Beaches, did the swap around. But, I surfed my whole life, like whenever we could get down the beach as much as possible. And then moved down to Sydney when I was 20 and just surfed on the beaches, like, as much as possible. Like, I've done boat trips overseas and stuff like that. But it's funny, though, like growing up from where I did, because it is just so not a surf town. I still, even though I've surfed my whole life, still don't. That's why I say I feel like a kook. Like I don't know why I feel like a proper surfer or something. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, sick. So, what boards do you use, Rod? What's the go-to?
Mate, I've got this board. It's on my one board quiver board now at the moment. By a guy called Ash Ward Eagle Sword. He shapes them up. And he hand shapes his boards in Queensland, and it's a 6'11" mid length. I swear I got it before mid-lengths became like the cool thing now, but it's a 6'11" mid-length with a 20 keel fin, glassed in fins, and thing goes sick. You can ride it in 1 to 2 foot slop. You can ride it in 6 to 8 foot mac and point breaks if you can ever manage to get that.
Yeah, cool.
But I've got 1,000 other boards though in the shed, mate. Like but that's my go-to number at the moment.
And I, I've got, like, prior to my accident, obviously, just sort of had all different boards as well, like to, you know, ride performance boards, long boards, all that sort of thing. And then, but now I just recently got a shape, board shape by De Berge. Is it how you say it? he seems to be a bit of the go-to for adaptive surfing. And it's like this 6'8", super wide, like 20-inch wide, 3-inch thick, like it's a boat. But I really need it, you know, to keep me up buoyancy wise, and you know, make it easier for Seb, like, to help me paddle into waves or to get out in the surf as well. And you know, laying down and my level of injury, which is quite high, like I have no feeling from my upper chest down, so I don't have much trunk control. Like, so my body can essentially fall off the board and I wouldn't know it. So, you know, you want something that's big and flat and buoyant and forgiving sort of thing. Like, so if I lean on a rail, it's not just going to turn super dramatically, like it's real predictable sort of thing. But yeah, it's a great board. It's got like fin plugs on the top of it where we put fins in upside down, but they're covered in foam just to hold my legs on the board. Because like I said, they could just fall off and I wouldn't know. And they're situated probably about a quarter of the way up the from the back of the board. Yes. Yeah, see,
it would be the shittest board to surf. Like, stand up, like you would look at this thing and be like, throw it in the bin. Who the fuck shaped that?
But in saying that, it'd be interesting to have a go, eh? Like, you should try it, I reckon, just to see. Like, yeah. It'd be.
It's just got so much foam up the front, which is obviously needed for you.
Yeah.
The thing with prone boards, like, it's so funny. Like, you go to these comps and you see people, like, going on prone surfboards and they're buying a board off the shelf.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, they buy a board off the shelf and get on it. It's all you can really do. There's no one, until we met Daz, like, there's no one really shaping adapted boards here. And it's all kind of trial and error. But they buy a board off the shelf and you think, like, that board's been shaped for, you know, stand-up surfing. Everything about it, stand-up surfing. And it's not designed to be surfed in a prone position. So it's really cool now to see that Lee's able to get a board that's had a lot of thought go into it that can help him perform, you know, to the best. And he's not just on like a piece of foam in the water. He's on like a surf craft now. Like, we all kind of get to pick and choose what we want in a board. That's epic to see.
Yeah, that D Burge, hopefully I said his name right. He did Sarah Gibson's board as well. He seems to be the go-to when it comes to adaptive surfing. And that must be such a hard job to do because everyone would be so unique. Like, he would have to hone in on each design and stuff like that. So shout out to him for, you know.
Yeah, and he's a super passionate dude. That's what I like. Like, I'd never met the dude in my life and, you know, got through to him through Seb and that, like, because he was shaping adaptive boards, and I was like trying to tell him, just go, mate, just keep the board simple as possible sort of thing. I sent him another board up there going, I want it similar to this sort of, as a, just, you know, as a starting point. I'm going, mate, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, like, just do it similar. But he goes, no, I want to do every board better, mate. He goes, I want to make it really good for you. And he'd actually got to a point where he'd shaped the blank, was about to glass it. And then he goes, like, he was going to bring the board to me, like, the next week. And then I rang him up and he goes, man, I got to start again, eh? I want to start all over again. I just don't think this is going to be right. Like, he put that much care and love into it that he was, like, nearly at the finish point and just went, nah, I'm going to start all over again. And I was just like, this dude's, like, you know, builds such confidence in you that this dude really cares and, you know, has a passion in what he does. Like,
yeah. Well, like, we'll touch on, like, where you're going with your surfing career soon, but it's good to see that he's actually, like, he's not mucking around. He's going to give you the best possible chance at, like, competing and winning as he can.
Yeah. And,
like, props to him for doing that.
Oh, fully. That's what I mean. That's what I was just like, yeah, this is the dude for sure. Like, he genuinely cares, you know. Like, he wants you to, like you said, perform your best you can. But also, ultimately, like, you know, it's just, go out there and be able to have fun.
Yeah, that's the key to surfing, I reckon. If you're having fun, doesn't matter how hard you rip or anything like that, just getting in the water and, you know, smile on your face, man.
No doubt. That's, funnily enough, like, before I had my accident, like, I had a motorcycle accident, that's how I became, you know, disabled in a wheelchair. And I sort of stopped surfing for a while because, like, I was going out there and it was super crowded. Like, you know, I live on the northern beaches and I was getting really frustrated. Like, I'd get out of the surf angry because I was, like, crowded or I wasn't surfing as good as I should or could, like, even though I'm not competing. And I was just, like, going, I'm not enjoying this anymore and like, really sort of stepped away from it for a while and started riding my motorbike a lot more. But, yeah, it's funny. After having this injury and that, like falling in love with it all over again and in a different way, you know what I mean? It's not going out there trying to, like, yeah, surf the ass out of it. It's just trying to, you know, get in the water and just the little nuances of it, like, you know what I mean? And looking back at the land from the water, like, you know, stuff, just little things like that. Just, it's sick.
Where's your favorite place to surf? Where do you get that buzz the most?
I'm not really fazed, eh? Like, any, to be honest, like, yeah, it doesn't bother me. Like, access is a bit of a thing now for us. Like, obviously, getting across the sand's the biggest obstacle.
Had some experiences.
Oh, yeah, we've had some gnarly surfs, like, as well.
Palmy would have to be one of the funniest. Oh,
that always comes to my mind straight away. You tell the story, Seb.
We're at the Palmy, right? Like, classic Sydney East Coast swell, like you never know what you're going to get, really. You think it could be pumping and then like close out to whatever. And we're going up the Palmy and we're like, oh, yeah, it looks all right. Yeah, it looks all right. We'll make it out there pretty easy. And we've had to like push across the
paint the picture though. It's like 20 knot onshore and about, I don't know, 6 to 8 foot, like, you know, 10 to 15 foot faces on these bombs set. And there's no one out, there's no one on the beach. Well, I should be all right, eh?
I'm a frother when it comes to that. I'm like, no, there's a little shoulder out there, mate. We'll be sweet.
Yeah. And anyway. Oh, we're as bad as each other, though, as soon as he starts. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll be fine. We've got this.
So we're cruising across. Like, it's a mission as it is, getting across the sand. Like, I mean, I'm not a huge bloke. I weigh about 80 kilos or something like that. And he's probably about the same as me. I'm pushing him across the sand in this wheelchair across Palmy, soft sand. We get down to the water and then they're filming freaking Home and Away. They're filming down there. And they're all kind of like looking at us. I'm pushing this, like, I mean, they're probably seeing, who's this bloke pushing this disabled guy like across the sand into the water in like 6 to 8 foot surf. Anyway, we do it like it's normal for us. We go about our thing, getting in the water, and it was just a mission trying to get out of the back. Like, it was, and we looked at each other, and we were like, "Yeah, but they're filming Home and Away, man. Like, we could be in the background of it. Like,
yeah, we can't bail on it now. We have to go out."
So, did you just get a wave or what?
I ran in and put my board on the beach, and then because Lee, this is a time when Lee was surfing a board with the wave jet in it, so it's got like a little pod that goes underneath it with two props on it, so Lee can be quite independent in the water. And so he's trying to get out on that thing by himself. I just ran my board in the end and swam out with Lee. We got out the back. I'm pretty sure we got one wave, or you got a
three waves, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all just pretty much take off, just like hold on for grim death. And then I think I like the first one was probably the best one that I actually went across and then bailed out, and then the next two I think I just pretty much went straight to like save my life, and then I'm like, I'm done.
But hey, how's the story about, like, you'll stick with that forever, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's a memory, 100%. Yeah, I love it though. It's so dumb. Like, I've never watched Home and Away in my life. Like, the film Home and Away, we have to go out. Like,
did you watch that episode?
No, we should have tried to find out. The episode 1,256,000.
Well, if it's all right, I'd like to touch a little bit about what you do, Seb, with the Access Adventures, and we'll come back to your story in a sec, Lee. But like, what is Access Adventures? Like, what is it?
It's been it was a passion project of mine for a long time. I've been to give you like a life story, not a life story of me, but my career kind of path. I knew nothing about disability in like 2011. I'd just come home from traveling around the world with my mates. We've been surfing around the world. We'd done the classic Europe world trip and came home and was looking for work, really. And with my uni degree, was looking for work in the sports area. and just happened to apply for a job with Wheelchair Sports New South Wales. It was just before the London Paralympics, but I knew nothing about it. I don't think I'd even watched the Paralympics in my life before, right? Like, I was, like, completely nothing. And in the space of 6 months, just fell in love with disability sport. And I mean, I was a sport frother, and sort of what it gave people and the opportunities it gave people. And from there, I ended up working with an organisation called Royal Rehab and worked on a whole project for them on community participation for people with disability. And basically, that's how I met Lee. Pretty much as Lee had his accident, he was a patient at Royal Rehab, and I took Lee surfing for the first time post his injury back in the water again while I was there. But what really stuck to me was that I could work with these people in an inpatient setting and kind of, I suppose, support them to do what they wanted to do. But then they were like off, out of rehab, and then there was nothing. Like, how do they continue to participate? It's all well and good to, like, to froth people up and say you can do this, but I was like, how do they do it? And so that's how Access Adventures was kind of born, in that I wanted to be able to support people to do what they wanted to do, whatever that was.
Do you have like many clients? Like, it's pretty popular.
Yeah, busy. We're kind of like, and Lee would be testament to this, but I'm trying to create a community of people that all like end up like, we're like a
gang.
Squad's the wrong word, like gang's the wrong word, but like-minded people that like enjoy hanging out together. So like, we're really niche in what we're trying to offer. And it's not like we're an exclusive club or anything like that, but we're trying to just create a bunch of people that want to hang out and do stuff together and support in that space. And that's kind of where our whole client base comes from, really. And everyone gets along. We start running group trips and that kind of thing now. But you know, we're looking at, we take people mountain biking. I was chatting to you just before Lee jumped on, that I've just been down in Victoria doing some training runs for the National Gravity Enduro mountain biking down in Mornington Peninsula. It's on this weekend coming up. And so supporting a bunch of guys with spinal cord injury to send it down a mountain, really. Lee mountain bikes. If he's not surfing, we're out biking. So we're all junkies, yeah.
Yeah, sick. And everyone's just frothing it, like getting back, like after injury, getting back to like the thing that they love. Like, it's just.
Yeah, like, you know, I say this a lot to people, but like a lot of people that I work with were risk takers, you know, prior to their injury. People have had motorbike accidents, skiing accidents, you know, they've had surfing accidents, mountain accidents, rock climbing, that kind of thing. And, you know, for a lot of people, just because they've had an injury or then they've now got a spinal cord injury, it doesn't mean that they don't want to still be a risk taker. You know, people still want to do cool shit and still want to get out. You know, there's no point in living wrapped up in cotton wool. And that's what I found working with people. And so that's kind of the way that it sort of was born.
And is it that flip side, obviously, of people who might have been a bit reserved, but now like they've had the injury, they will kind of want to go out and experience as much as they can? Like, do you have that as well?
Yeah, look, definitely. And I think you get a lot of people that are willing to learn now. They're like, happy to try new things because they're trying to find like what they're going to be passionate about now, what can they do. You know, no one wants to sit inside. Like, for me, I mean, I hate sitting inside doing nothing. It gives me the jitters. Yeah. And so I often think, like, if I had a spinal cord injury, what would I want to be doing? And that's kind of how I want to support people.
Yeah, sweet. And you do like everything, hey, like surfing, push bike riding, like, yeah. Sky's the limit.
Yeah, sky's the limit, really. I mean, I'll take someone to jump out of a plane. I just got to learn how to do that first.
Oh, mate. You know,
it's funny, like, if someone, like I wanted to take people skiing, right? This is something I wanted to do years ago. And I'd never been, like, I was never the grommy that went to the snow. I lived at the beach. So I kind of spent 2 weeks at the snow before doing that and taught myself how to ski and then sort of worked around how I could support people to be able to ski. So, yeah, you know, if someone wants to do something, then we'll make a way to find it happen.
Yeah, sweet. And you've got like a team, or like, is it pretty much you or?
No, it's not just me. I've got another half, Big Red, Jacob. He's actually, he's out doing the Shipbox Rally at the moment. So he's in Hell's End Roadhouse in the middle, somewhere between Queensland and the Northern Territory at the moment, on a 5,000 kilometre journey in a beat up Tarago Taxi that's punching a million Ks with a client of his, Mel.
First people ever to do it with adaptive hand controls too. You got to
So we're like first people to do this this rally. It raises money for cancer, for the Cancer Council. And they're driving 5,000 Ks. I suppose by the time this podcast come out, it'll be over, but you'll be able to look at all the footage and stuff on our Instagram. It's a pretty epic trip. He's my other half, Jacob. He's a mad frother as well. Just wants to support people to do epic shit.
Sick. And last question about Access Adventure. Was there a session or something that really stands out? Like what's been the best one that sort of sticks
hands
in the head?
Hands down for me was when we've been doing a few urban surf trips with guys and getting guys in the water, and Lee and another one of our clients, Michael, like we've been surfing the intermediate wave down there and the advanced wave turns, and we're like, we got to get into the barrow wave. And there's a session out there with Lee and Fody, and we was giggling in the water because like we had them all fully suited up, helmets on, and I don't think anyone, like we're in a public session down there, so we don't book a private session, we just surf with everyone else, and people are like, these guys like doing out here, and Lee and Fody were just sending them into these kegs down there. I think, I don't know, Lee, you probably made one.
Yeah, and, maybe.
And Fody made one barrel. That to me is a real memorable session though, because it was just like, it felt like it was a bunch of mates just like having such a sick time down there, and just to feel like the progression from where we'd come from to being able to be surfing this like advanced keg barrel wave at a surf was sick. We've been down there heaps. Like we probably run five or six trips down there. Like I take Kirk, who's blind. I've surfed with Brett and Sarah and stuff down there as well. And they're super supportive of us. Like they're actually, like, you know, shout out to them. They're amazing down there and how they support us. We bring a whole support crew down. So that's how Alex came down with us. The whole support crew comes down, and like we have like every surfer that we take in the water has a pusher and a catcher, and we just work in teams and rotating around. It's epic to surf in just the public sessions down there as well, because like you're not
bit of like, exposure, yeah. Like people need to know.
Yeah, it's not just exposure, but it's not like, oh, like let's put the disabled people over here and they need to surf like, you know, separate to everyone else, and like let's segregate them because they need to be safe and like we can do all this. It's like, no, they're surfers. Let's surf with everyone else.
100%.
It educates everyone to say like, this is what surfing is. You might be in the water, you know, surfing at Narrabeen, and Lee's going to drop in on you and give you the tongue out of his mouth, but deal with it. Like that's, you know, like that's just what to expect.
But all you get like is love too. Like when you're in the water and stuff like that, you just get every bloke out there is just going, oh, it's so sick to see you out there. Like, you know what I mean? It's all never had anyone be negative at all towards you, like, or think, you know, what's this guy doing? Or he shouldn't be out here or anything like that. It's all just positives.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Like stoked to hear that. And glad that the urban surf team sort of, you know, they're helpful as well. Like we're all frothers, aren't we? That's it at the end of the day.
Yeah, I reckon though the first time that you guys went there, it wasn't with me, but like they would have been so skeptical or just worried initially, just going, oh, how's this going to pan out? Like I reckon they would have had like a keen eye on you for sure.
Yeah, and then, they see us work down there though now. Like they definitely see us, and now it's like they're like, you guys do what you need to do down here. We trust that you know what you're doing, and they give us like that space. There's helps there, but they know what we're doing. We'll have to get you down, Matt.
Oh, next mate. Up,
one of our next trip, we'll have to get you down with us, helping us out and surfing with the crew.
100% in. Like, yeah. I'll come down and help for sure and get everyone's froth on. That'd be amazing.
Oh, but it's hard to tell who froths more, really. Like, it's everyone's just loving it, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting this episode. I hope you're enjoying it. I thought I'd just take the opportunity to give another shout out to one of my other sponsors, Surf Paints Pens. Surf Paint Pens are tested daily by surfers all over the world. These paint pens are designed especially for your surfboard. Surf Paints encourages the everyday surfer of all ages, skill level, and artistic ability to get creative and make their surfboard their own. And to celebrate, Surf Paint's giving 10% off their online store to my community by using the promo code KOOK at checkout. So if you always wanted to paint a masterpiece or color match a home repair job, Surf Paint pens have you covered. Just go to their website, www.surfpaintspens.com.au. Thank you for listening. Now, back to the episode.
Now, Lee, I'll ask you a couple of questions, man. If like you don't feel free to answer as much or as little as you want, but so you had an injury, and sort of what happened, man?
Yeah, that was I should have said that when I introduced myself. Hey, but again, this is just me. But 2015. Had a motorcycle accident. Like I was mad keen into my motorbikes. I was a road bike. Used to go do track days out at Eastern Creek and all that sort of thing. So like I could ride a bike. I wasn't a Gumby. And then just riding to the shop on a Saturday arvo and had a brain like fart, I guess you'd call it, or just I don't know, and ended up riding into the side of a four-wheel drive and coming off and broke my T2 vertebrae, which is like just below your spine. Yeah, I mean your neck goes from C1 to C7, and your below your shoulders is 1 to 12. I broke number 2, which is, like I said, quite a high level, and like ribs and sternum, and had internal bleeding and all that gnarly shit, and went to hospital for 5 months, and ended up out at Royal Rehab, and that's where I met Seb. And it's crazy to think, like, when you first have your accident, there's just no way I thought that going back in the ocean would even be an option. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't even know if I float, can I swim? Like, what am I capable of doing? And then fortunately, met Seb. He's always so cruisy in that respect. I was like, he's like, yeah, come surf. And I'm like, do you reckon I'll be able to? Like, yeah, you'll be able to do it, man.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be sweet.
Yeah, fully. And like, you know, the ocean's quite an intimidating place no matter what, and to do it with essentially, you know, a third of your body functioning was quite scary, but at the end of the day, like as soon as I caught that first wave, that was it, man. I was just like beside myself just going, this is just ridiculous. Like, yeah.
So that happened, was it 7 years ago, did you say?
Yeah, 18th of April 2015, yeah.
And then like now we're back in the water. Seb mentioned going to the United States, mate.
Yeah, bro. Can't believe it, eh? Like, December 2nd. Going to compete at Pismo Beach in California for a world title, mate, representing Australia.
And you said like this is full prone category?
Yeah, there's so many different categories, like with the Paralympics and things like that, but I'm in the prone assist class, which means I lay on my in the prone position, which is laying down on your elbows, propped up by your elbows, and have Seb as my pusher, as my assistant. Like he will get me out the back, and then when a wave comes, push me into it. Yeah, because of my injury level as well, that's why I need assistance. Is I can't actually paddle because I can't lift my head up off the board to be able to paddle, and I've got like hardware in my neck and everything as well. It's sort of forces my head forward, so it's extremely painful. Like it's just I just can't paddle, mate. Like so I need assistance in the water to do that, and we'll be competing in the prone to assist class, I think it's called.
Yeah, sweet. Medal contenders or what where do we sit in your reckon?
Champion contenders, mate. 100%.
Yeah. Hey, well, Seb's like going, we're not going over there, mate, we're going to get a result. Like, we're shooting for the stars, mate, for sure. I'm not going all the way over there. Nothing, definitely. We've got high hopes, high expectations.
Yes, sweet. So,
world title back to Australia because Barney Miller, obviously, it's the same class as Barney. So, I mean, you would have heard of Barney Miller. He won a couple of world titles. And so Lee will be surfing in the same class as him. He's retired from that professional surfing now. And we're going to take the reins and bring the title back down under.
100%. Yeah. How many competitors are in the category?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Maybe
40 plus easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's countries from all, I mean, obviously it's world championships, but like, mate, Lee hasn't been to one. I've been over to these before and it is just like the sickest week. You got people coming from all around the world, support crew, totally different surf craft, like, and just everyone's just shredding out there.
So is there like, I'm assuming there'd be such a big variety of surf crafts for like every sort of adaptive surfing. Be pretty like cool and interesting to see on like your end, Seb, just to see like what people are doing to sort of help those, like help people with injuries to get back in the water.
Yeah, it is. Like you see a huge difference in boards. And, you know, when it particular, you know, I would say it's particularly in Lee's class, but like I suppose in any surfing, the board has a lot to do with how well you do. Because once you're on the wave, like you've, particularly in Lee's class, like there's not a whole, like you're not going vertical and being real critical and stuff, but you've got to be able to have flow on a wave. And that board's going to be so critical to doing that. You know, you don't want to be on a big, heavy 9-foot log that you can just lay in and go across the wave. You want to be able to carve and turn and use all the features of the board. So,
it's yeah, because, really cool. And how's your training going, Lee? You feeling confident?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Can't get into water enough, but like, yeah, but just like meaning, you know, like because of conditions and things like that and time restraints. But yeah, I'm getting into it. I just did a little aerobics workout just before I came on with you guys, funnily enough.
Must be like, just is it like a bit bizarre to think you'd be going for a medal? Like,
oh, fully, mate. Like, I don't, to be honest, it doesn't really set in, like the actual reality of it, to be honest. Like even like when I competed, like I had to compete up at Port Macquarie in the parasurfing championships there to qualify to go over there, and you know, I won an Australian title, I'm an Australian champion, and like it was just mental. Like at first it didn't mean anything, but then after actually winning it, you're just like, oh, this is surreal, you know what I mean? Like it's like a full childhood dream sort of thing. Like, you know, everyone wants to be a champion.
Oh, that's so cool, man. I can see the froth in your face. You're like it's good to see, boys.
Crazy journey. Like, it's a crazy journey. Lee and I, like, we shared a moment in the water at Port Macquarie when he won the Australian Championships. Because it had been this, like, you know, we think back to that first day of getting Lee in the water at North Bondi and all the surfing we've done in between. We're out in the water, and the conditions just went like kind of calmish out there. And it was just Lee and I just out in the water at Bonnie Hills with no one else out there. We kind of had this little like teary moment of being like, like, how's this? Like 7 years down the track, and we're out here together still 7 years later surfing and winning an Australian title.
Yeah.
Going to win a world title.
That's it.
Crazy. So like obviously your relationship, you guys have to be all over it as like a team.
I was just going to say, like I try to explain that to people as well. It's like a full dance partner. You know what I mean? You can't, like, you know, the way that he paddles me out, we've got like our technique down for duck diving and like, you know, picking waves and things like that. You have to have good communication. And yeah, it's not like you can just get any old person to come along and do it with you. And you get that confidence in the person as well that, you know, they're going to get you into the right wave and a good wave and help you out if you get in trouble as well.
Man, amazing, amazing stuff, boys. I hope you bring home the silverware. That'd be so sick.
Oh, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it, mate? There'd be, some celebrations afterwards for sure.
And how many in the Australian team are going over? Are you all going together, or is it sort of like a separate sort of commute?
It's really hard, hey. Like, there's 10 in the team that are going over. But to put that in perspective, there's probably like 20. We could probably take a team of 20, but it's expensive to go over. And for the most part, you've got guys. Well, actually, I would say most people are having to self fund themselves over. It's hard because surfing's not a Paralympic sport yet. And so in terms of like sports funding, there's not a lot of sports funding available. So it really comes down to the athletes being able to self-fund themselves over. And, you know, Lee and I, you know, Lee's looking at, at minimum, like a $10,000 trip for the two of us to go over. It's expensive. And so unfortunately, that means that a lot of people end up not going. You know, they've got the opportunity to represent their country, but they can't afford to head over. which sucks to hear. And hopefully, you know, things change and we can get sponsors on board that that want to get behind the team and back them to go over. Because they're surfers, man, and they're totally shred, and they want to go over and represent their country and be proud to be Australian and represent Australia at the World Championships.
Yeah, it sucks. It seems to be a common theme. Like I said, I interviewed Sarah Gibson, who's going over for visually impaired, and can't even like get a wetsuit. Like it's pretty. Yeah.
And Australia is such a surf culture. You know what I mean? You think of Australia, it's one of the first things you think of is the beach and surfing and things like that, and the scene and the amount of people that surf is like huge here. It's a massive thing. Yet it's hard to get the support and the funding for people to go and compete and like on a world-class level as well. So,
and it seems like if you do get any sort of sponsorship or funding, it's from those small independent brands that are doing it. It's not the big chains. It's like shout out to Tony Marsh from Huey's Choice of Wax, just like that kind of stuff. He throws a bit of wax here and there, but it's like those big brands, they just like, they're happy to throw millions of dollars at the big guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And essentially really wouldn't be much either. Like, you know, if you could just help fund, like you get there and back, it's not like you're asking for hundreds of thousands of dollars or some sort of big deal or something, you know what I mean? And to them, it would really be a drop in the ocean. And then represent like diversity and getting everyone like into the surf and yeah, like.
I mean, surfing Australia, so we go over and we're competing as the Irukandjis. So, you know, that's great. So that the team, you know, they'll look the same. They've got the same uniform and everything as all the Australian surfing teams. So, you know, the team that went to the Olympics with the Irukandjis, all the ISA World Championships, be that longboarding, juniors, and para now, they're all the Irukandjis. So that's really cool. And Surfing Australia are sending over a coach and a team manager with us to bring the team together and to work as a team. But it is still up to all the athletes, though, and their support team to book accommodation, to organise their own airfares over, to organise all the logistics that you've got to do over there as well. So, you know, think about this. Lee's going over to the States. I'll go and support him, but he's a wheelchair user. He's got to fly over to America. He's got to take all his boards with him, all his equipment and extra stuff that he needs with him as well. It's very challenging to have to do by yourself. And so, you know, people need to take support teams with them for that reason. Yeah, I mean, things like the NDIS are fantastic, and various like insurance schemes as well will definitely work with supporting people where they can, and if they deem it necessary to support them to go over and compete in events like this. But that's still like, you know, it's up in the air and it's not always guaranteed. So you kind of, yeah.
And like you said, at the end of the day, we're all frothers. We all want to go surf. We all want to compete. Yeah, it is hard to hear. And since starting this journey, I've heard it multiple times. So, yeah, if anyone's listening with anyone wants to throw like sponsorship or anything like that, I don't think the big brands listen to me, but hey, you never know.
But I want to say this as well, that like no one's asking for like in this space, no one's asking for a handout or like for anything like that. It's like, hey, like I want to represent my country. And you know, I'm the best, like Lee is the Australian champion, right? Like he's the best in Australia in his category at parasurfing prone assist, you know, and he wants to represent Australia in the world stage.
Yeah. That's sort of where we're at. And like, I can see the passion in your face, Lee, like you're keen to get over there. You're keen to do your part. Yeah. And I'm sure in the back of your head, you're like, shit, financials, like.
Yeah. 100%. And again, like Seb was saying earlier, I think the biggest problem as well is it would prevent so many people. Like we could take a much bigger team, Australia, if other people had the funding. But not only that, at a national level, like in Australia, even it's a like it's only held on the east coast of Australia. Like we know of guys from WA and everything that surf in prone and stuff, but just can't come over like for financial reasons or that live in other states and things like that. So even just like at the grassroots sort of level over here, I reckon it'd be a much bigger scene. I know of so many other guys that do surf but don't come and compete just because of, like, you know, logistics and financials and things like that. So, yeah, but I think we're just, like, at the forefront of it still, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like it's gaining momentum. Like, I went and competed in one in 2019, and just before COVID, and opposed to the last one that I went to, there were so many more people here in this, like, local competition than there was before. So, hopefully, with more momentum and more people doing it, that obviously that can attract some dollars to the cause.
100%. I couldn't agree with you more, man. And yeah, hopefully it does start shifting. It's going to be slow, but you know, every step's probably step in the right direction, really.
That's it, man.
Well, boys, like, such good time, like, chatting to yous. So I got one last question for both of yous. What does surfing mean to you?
Oh, I'm gonna say like the most cliche thing ever, but the next wave, mate. Just chasing the next wave, like, you know, just being in the water full stops, like, absolutely awesome. That's just, yeah, it's like therapy.
100%.
Look, surfing's my happy place. I don't ever worry at all when I'm in the water. You can have 1,000 thoughts running through your head before you go in the water. And when you're in your water, Lee's exactly right. It's next wave. It's all you're thinking about, next wave. And it's such a simple thing to have, but it's, it's my happy place.
Well, boys, 100%. Thank you both for coming on the show. To all my listeners, follow Access Adventures to see how yous do. I'll be fingers crossed for the gold, mate. I really hope yous pull it out. But, yeah, thanks, boys, for coming on. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. And, look, really appreciate you inviting us on. It's cool that you're frothing so much to share this story, because it's like, that's what it's all about, man. It's really cool. So thank you.
No worries at all. Like, I do this because I love just hearing stories such as this. Like, it's just really cool to meet people like you guys who are doing good shit. Like, why not?
That's it.
We're all surfers.
That's it. We're all kooks.
100%. Oh, well, cheers, boys.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you like what you're hearing, like and subscribe on whatever platform you choose to listen on. If you haven't already, check out my online store. It's constantly expanding. I stock brands such as Freefall Surf Hardware for all your surfing needs, SurfSu to help prevent rash and extend your time in the water, Sun Butter, who are my latest addition. I'll be stocking their awesome range of zinc and sunscreen, and of course, Huey's Choice of Wax, the best surfboard wax. All these products I've personally tried and tested in the water. So go to my online store, www.southcoastcook.com, to check it all out. And if you don't already, follow me on Instagram at southcoast.cook and direct message me all your surfing questions. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week. Bye.